With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives. And follow us on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. Today's program is brought to you in part by the financial support of our listeners. You can send along a one-time donation through the Zelle app to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Or you can become one of our ongoing Patreon supporters for as little as $2 per month. Go to patreon.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for today's episode of Casey Crime Photographer. The original air date, September the 18th, 1947, and the title is The Tobacco Pouch.
The Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation brings you Crime Photographer.
Well, Tony, what are you waiting for?
1950. That's when they hold the next elections for the Hall of Fame.
Oh, you mean you think you'll get elected?
Why not?
Along with Washington and Jefferson and Franklin.
Precisely.
Yeah, but why? What is your claim to fame, Tony?
It's irrefutable. I work for Anchor Hawking, the most famous name in glass. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tony Marvin. Every week at this time, the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, and its more than 10,000 employees bring you another adventure of Casey, crime photographer, ace cameraman who covers the crime news of a great city. Written by Alonzo Dean Cole, our adventure for tonight, The Tobacco Pouch. Afternoon, shortly after 4 o'clock. The Blue Note Cafe. A huge middle-aged man enters the bar, orders a beer, empties his glass in one gulp, tosses a bill to Ethelbert the bartender, and starts out. Before he reaches the door, it opens and...
Well, hello, Ben.
Hello, Casey. How are you, Miss Williams?
Fine, Miss Black.
What are you doing on this side of the river, Ben?
Oh, I cross the bridge occasionally on slumming trips to see how the other half lives. A little pressed for time, Casey, so don't take any wooden nickels.
Yeah, I'll try not to. So long.
Nice to see you, Miss Williams. So long.
So long, Mr. Flack.
Hi, Ethelbert.
Hello. Say, you two know that big guy who just went out?
Sure, don't you know him?
No, but I'd like him to come in often. He just give me a buck for a 15-cent beer. His face is awful familiar, Casey, but I...
Well, you've
can't
seen his pictures in the papers hundreds of times, pal. That's Big Ben Flack.
Big Ben?
Yeah, the boss of Hook Ridge. He runs almost everything on the other side of the river.
Oh, sure, I get him now. What's he doing over here?
He probably came over to get a breath of clean air. The stench of his political machine must get too high for even Ben once in a while. Slip me a pack of cigarettes, will you, pal?
Okay. I hear Flack ain't so active in his organization as he used to be. They say a smart lawyer named Lockhart gives most of the orders now.
Yeah, well, you can gamble that any orders Lockhart gives are those that he gets from Ben. The big guy has that Hook Ridge section in his pocket, and he's going to keep it there until he dies or goes to jail.
Well, there's not much chance of his going to jail. He can get away with murder. And he's gotten away with it, too.
You said it. I never met Lockhart, but what I hear, he's a kind of a slimy double-crossing rat. Ben at least has guts. Here's for the cigarette, pal.
Thanks. You two are through for the day now, ain't you?
Uh-huh. We're working the early shift this week. And I have some shopping to do before the stores close. Well, I've got to buy a birthday present for my little nephew. And you know what boys like better than I do, so you're going with me.
Okay, where'll we go?
We're going to Blumstein and Riley.
Annie, not a big department store like that, where 8 million women are looking for bargains.
I'm looking for bargains, so that's where we'll go.
No.
Casey.
Not Blumstein and Riley's.
Yes.
No.
Pal, as my sister Edna says, quote, a woman's will is always stronger than a fella's won't, unquote. Just start walking, Casey.
Women looking for bargains. Oh, and excuse me, lady.
Stop crabbing, Casey. We'll be out of the store in a few minutes.
What?
Oh, they're having a sale on costume jewelry. Maybe I can pick up a pin to go with my new green dress.
Annie, we came here to get something for your nephew.
Yeah, but
and
these pins look like real bargains, Casey. And if I can find a good-looking one for only $2.98...
All right.
It won't take a minute to look them over. Oh, this isn't bad.
Well, that's swell. Buy it.
No, it isn't right. How do you like this one?
That's perfect, Annie. Just the thing.
Mm, it won't do at all. Here's a pretty one.
Now, that's terrible.
You're right, it is.
Oh, I can't win.
Hmm?
Nothing.
Oh, here's some that are priced a little higher. Maybe they're
Annie,
better
looking.
Annie. Huh? What?
See that little guy at the end of the counter?
Yeah.
I think he just slipped a bracelet into that big umbrella he's carrying.
A shoplifter?
I can't be sure, but look, he's moving away. Let's keep our eyes on him.
Okay, but he doesn't look like a thief,
Casey. If all crooks looked like crooks, we would need a police department.
Oh, I know that. But this little man, he has a nice face, and he's so neatly dressed, and well, he might be a college professor.
Wait, he stopped at the perfume counter.
Yeah?
Hey, look at that tough-looking hombre. That big guy beside him.
Yeah.
I wonder if he broke his arm accidentally or if somebody else did it for him.
Well, his arm's in a sling.
Sure is. Uh-oh. Just got a load of the red rose in his coat lapel. I guess he's not so tough.
Looks can be deceiving.
Annie, the little guy just took something from the big guy's pocket.
Yeah, I saw him, too. It went into the umbrella.
I'm going to nab that runt, Annie.
Well, you'll have to move fast because he is.
I'll get him. Annie. Tell the big guy with his arm in a sling that his pocket's just been picked and tell him to stand by.
Yeah, okay, I will. Hey, listen.
Hey, you with the umbrella. I want to talk to you. Wait a minute, wait. There's no use running, fella. I got longer legs than you have.
Let me go. What's the meaning of this?
You know what it is.
I do not. How dare you put your hands upon
Let's
me?
Let's see what you got in the umbrella.
No, don't touch it. No, don't.
Hey, what's going on here?
Come and see, Monahan. I was wondering when one of you store detectives would show up.
Well, Casey, what's wrong? Mr. Carrick.
What? You know this little runt, Monahan?
Well, I...
Monahan, order this uncouth individual to remove his obnoxious hands from my person and to apologize for the indignity he has caused me.
Say, look here, half-pint.
Yeah, look. Take it easy, Casey.
What?
You ladies and gentlemen, go on about your shopping, please. There's been a mistake here.
A mistake?
Yeah, but Casey, Mr. Carrick, come on with me, quick. Behind that partition to the stockrooms.
Look here, Monahan.
I'll explain everything, Casey. When we get away from this crowd.
Yeah, you better.
Hey, Casey, the man with his arm in the sling hurried away from me after I told him his pocket had been picked. He didn't even thank me. I lost him in the crowd.
Oh, that's great, Annie. All I needed was a little more mystery.
What?
Say, Monahan, what goes on in this store?
All right, through this door, Casey. Back to the stockrooms, and I'll explain.
Your explanation better be good.
Simply tell this impertinent interloper who I am, Monahan.
Yeah. I'll take care of everything, Mr. Carrick. And to save you any more bother, will you make yourself comfortable in this room here while I tell this gentleman who you really are?
Gentlemen, you call this varlet?
Varlet, what's that?
Please, I shall await you in this room, Monahan, but don't keep me waiting long.
You're not going to wait there with that umbrella full of things you've stolen. Come on, give it to
Return
me.
Return my umbrella!
Oh, no. Until I'm told what this is all about, I'm hanging on to the evidence of what I think it's about.
I condescend to humor you. Take this person out of my sight, Monahan.
Hey, Casey, what is this?
Our friend Monahan is going to tell us right now, Annie, or else.
Come away from that room where I put him. He mustn't hear.
All right.
You step into this stock room. Now then, I'll close the door.
Yeah, and I'll empty the umbrella I took from your little pal.
What?
Look at this stuff, Monahan. Things stolen from this store with the tags still on them. Now, come on, tell me why you treated a lousy little shoplifter as though he was a tin god and made me look like a sap.
Look, will you and Miss Williams keep this out of your paper, Casey? If it gets in, I'll lose my job.
Huh? Well, give us the lowdown before you ask any favors.
Okay, Casey. That little guy's sister is Mrs. Clayton Westfield.
The Mrs. Clayton Westfield?
Exactly. Brother Wilmer that you just met is a kleptomaniac with complications. He thinks he's a reincarnation of a guy named Robin Hood.
Robin Hood?
Yeah, yeah, who stole from the rich to give to the poor.
Yeah, I know, I've read the book.
Yeah, well, we store detectives have to protect him and the Clayton Westfield name.
Protect him?
Yep, you see, Mrs. Westfield pays for everything he steals. He's got what you might call a shoplifting charge account.
Mrs. Westfield pays for everything Brother Wilmer steals.
She sends out monthly checks.
Well, now, how does she know what he takes?
He always shows her his loot when he goes home, and she makes a note of the price tags. Then he goes out and gives the stuff to people he thinks that needs it. Just a harmless nut.
Well, that's okay for the store he lifts from, but when he picks a guy's pocket, how does the guy get his stuff back?
But Wilmer Carrig didn't pick pockets.
Oh, yes, he does.
Oh, we saw him.
Sure, he made a snatch from a customer at your perfume.
Carrig's never been known to do it.
All right, here's the evidence. The one thing that hasn't got your price tag on it.
What?
This tobacco pouch here. Here it is. Look at it.
You're right, Casey. That isn't ours. Wasn't worth over $2 when it was new. So the guy didn't lose much.
Lost the key to his hotel room.
The key?
Sure, it's inside the pouch.
Ben Dixon's hotel tag on the key. I'll send it right over there.
Well, a man couldn't have wanted it very badly. As I told you, Casey, he walked away when
I told him
to pocket.
Yeah, that was true.
I can't figure why Carrie took... He's no dip.
All right, let's ask him.
All right, come on. Now, look, Casey, humor the nut, will you? He'll do anything for you if you treat him like a big shot.
All right.
And, well, you know, as I said, his sister is important.
Yeah, okay, Monahan. I'll even call him your Royal Highness if it'll help you.
Well, here's the room I left him in. We've come back, Mr. Carrick.
Hey, Monahan.
Holy.
He's lying on the floor and there's blood on his head.
He's been blackjacked.
Is he?
Wait, I'll let's see. Pulse is okay. Have been KO'd.
Half his pockets have been turned inside out, Casey. Somebody has frisked him.
Yeah, but who?
Wait a minute, he's coming to. Here, tell us.
Are you all right, Mr. Carrick?
Oh, I have a headache, Monahan.
All right, I'll get you to a doctor in a minute, sir, but first of all, will you tell us...
A man came in after you left me. The man with the rose in his lapel.
The guy with his arm in a sling?
Yes, but his arm was out of the sling when he opened the door, and then he hit me.
Casey.
Why had you taken a tobacco pouch from that man's pocket, Mr. Carrick?
I took it in order to solve a mystery.
You took it in order to what?
Monahan, have you told these persons who I am?
Well, I've given them kind of an idea, Mr. Carrick.
Good. Then I'll speak freely. My mission in life is to redress wrong, sir. I am a defender of the right.
I see.
When I first noticed that man with his arm in a sling, he made a most unfavorable impression upon me. I watched him, and when I saw another unprepossessing-looking character approach him and furtively slip a tobacco pouch in his hand, I prepared for action.
Wait a minute. Another guy gave arm in a sling that pouch?
Yes, a villainous-looking churl with red hair who quickly disappeared into the crowd of shoppers.
So you wanted to see what was in the tobacco pouch?
As defender of the right, it was my duty... See.
Casey, that hotel key.
The guy must have slugged and searched Mr. Carrig in order to get it back.
Let me see that pouch again, Monahan, will you?
What? Yeah. Here, Casey.
Right. Only a key inside.
Now that's all. The room 405, Ben Dixon Hotel.
Oh, I don't get it.
Neither do I. Hey, what's that?
Out in the store.
Hey, come on, Monahan. Come on.
Dump it. I'll say.
Let me through, please. Me too.
Here. What happened there? I'm a policeman.
That man on the floor, officer, he suddenly doubled up and fell at my feet.
A knife has been driven through his back, Casey.
Yes, and into his heart. He's finished.
Did anyone see who knifed him? You.
No, sir, I only saw him fall.
I didn't see anyone.
Casey, that dead man is...
Mr. Casey.
Yes, Mr. Carrick.
He's the person who hit me.
Yes, that's right. Somebody's rubbed out our guy who wore his arm in a sling.
Our story will continue in just a moment. I've got a good word for everybody who likes good beer.
And that good word is glass.
Yes, glass. Beer in glass.
Beer in glass bottles. For glass and glass alone can bring you beer and ale that's brewery bright.
And now we have a new kind of bottle. The Anchor Glass one-way bottle.
The bottle you never have to take back to the store.
The bottle that cuts out the nonsense and nuisance of deposits. The Anchor Glass one-way, no-deposit bottle is so light, so compact, so inexpensive to produce, that you never bother about empties. You just dispose of them as you would any other food container.
And let's not forget that good word, glass. This no-deposit container is made of glass, clean glass, which never affects the taste or flavor of anything it contains.
No wonder the Anchor Glass one-way, no-deposit bottle is sweeping America. If you want perfect flavor, demand your beer in glass bottles. If you want the extra convenience, demand your favorite brand in the new Anchor Glass one-way, no-deposit bottle, a product of Anchor Hocking. The most famous name in glass.
Casey, why are you pulling me away?
You want to get out of the mob around that dead man, Annie. May get an exclusive story if we work fast.
How?
I've got that tobacco pouch and the hotel key.
Well, I don't see how
that... Think back, Annie. There was nothing the matter with that guy's arm. Well, why did he wear that sling and a red rose in his lapel?
Oh, as a means of identification?
Sure. To somebody who didn't know him.
And the red-headed man slipped in the pouch.
Containing only a key. Which he tried to get back after Carrie took it. But which he wouldn't claim openly when you tipped him that it had been taken. Then he gets a knife in his back. Well, I'm going to use that key to find out why.
Well, how'll you use it?
Unlock room 405 at the Ben Dixon Hotel before word gets around that arm in a sling is dead.
Oh, now, wait a minute, Casey. You give that key to the cops and let them...
Yeah, let them crab a possible exclusive.
But we may walk into serious trouble.
Annie, you're not walking into anything. I'm going alone.
Oh, no.
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely, yes. If anybody's waiting in that room, they're going to be expecting a guy who'll show up alone. Well, the dead man is about my size and coloring, and I'll have my arm in a sling and a red rose in mine.
You have...
Sure, come on. We'll buy him right here.
Come on, now, wait a minute. This sounds too dangerous, Casey. I won't let
Look,
you.
Look, kid. You'll go with me to the Ben Dixon and park yourself in the lobby. If I'm not down within half an hour, you call the cops.
Hello, Slate.
Hello.
I expected you sooner than this.
I got here as soon as I could.
Come on in. It's more comfortable in here.
Peephole in the door, I see.
I wanted to be sure the man I talked to wore the identification agreed upon by you and our friend in Chicago. You made quite a reputation for yourself, Slate, as a careful workman. Also, as a man who doesn't ask questions.
If I ask questions, I'd want to know why you got your face covered up with a mask.
I think you can figure that one. I'm careful, too. Especially when I hire a killer like yourself.
It's smart to be careful.
Now that we understand each other, I'll give you your directions. The man you're to kill is quite a big shot.
Yeah?
His name is Ben Flack.
Flack, huh?
That mean anything to you?
Why should it?
Here are several pictures of him. Study them this evening, then destroy them. Your man spends most of his time at the Ben Flack Community Club in Hook Ridge across the river. Here's $2,000. You'll get the additional $3,000 agreed upon when the job is done. That's all. You can leave by this door.
Thanks.
S-48, leave it.
Hey! Red!
Let me close this door, boss, quick.
Crazy fool. Why did you hit Slate with your gun?
This guy ain't Slate.
What?
Slate got a knife in his back about 10 minutes after I passed him the key.
Knife in his back?
Yeah. I don't know who did it. When I heard about it, I hot-footed up here to tip you off. Heard you talking to this phony behind the door. When you open it, I'll let him have it.
Who is this man? He wore a sling and a rose.
I never seen him before.
He may know who I am. He knows our plan.
Eh? Well, there's only one thing to do.
We can't kill him here. Red, my car is in the parking lot down the street. Bring it to the rear entrance of this place.
Yeah, and then what?
Come up the back stairs and help me get this wise guy down to the car by the back stairs. Now get going and fast.
He made me promise not to call you police unless he stayed upstairs over half an hour, Captain Logan. And then I called men from the nearest precinct station before I phoned you.
What did the precinct men find, Miss Williams?
Room 405 and the connecting room were empty, but there were bloodstains on the floor.
Bloodstains?
Yeah. Captain, they think somebody killed Casey and carried his body down the back stairs.
Well, it'd serve him right. I warned the sap he'd butt into police business once too often, and I warned you...
Oh, Captain.
I'm sorry, Miss Williams. I often want to murder Casey, but nobody else is going to do it. I'll come right up to the Ben Dixon and try to pick up the Lux trail.
There's no trail to pick up, Captain, and no leads. He's just gone.
Yep. There's your stopping place, phony.
That boathouse, huh?
Very isolated boathouse, Mr. Casey.
Oh, you found out who I am?
Yes, from press cards in your pocket while you were unconscious.
Well, you must know it's pretty dangerous business to knock off a guy in my racket. The newspapers will never get off your tail.
Won't be nearly as dangerous to kill you as it would be to let you live. You've learned too much.
Yeah, I'll say. You able to get out of the car under your own steam?
I guess I can make it.
Open the boathouse door, Red. I'll keep this snooper well covered.
Okay, Lockett.
Oh. So you're Lockett. Ben Flack's lawyer.
Yes. Doesn't matter whether you know who I am. Now.
All right. Come on inside, Mug. Nice place we got here. Don't you think?
You're going to bump me off.
I'm going to kill you, Casey. You tried to make a fool of me, and I don't forgive that.
That window!
Drop those guns! This place is surrounded by police.
Cops! Lockett!
Drop those guns or we shoot!
We can't put up a fight against men we can't see. Drop your gun, Red.
Okay.
Pick up those guns, Casey.
That's the sweetest order I've ever taken. All right, you cops can show yourselves now. I've got their guns.
There aren't really any policemen, Casey.
What?
Only me.
Mr. Collick.
Hey! Who's that little runt?
That half-pint tricked us.
Watch your tongue, varlet.
Yeah, keep your mitts in the air. Mr. Carrick, I've never been so glad to see anybody in my life, but I don't understand.
It's all very simple. You tried to steal my mystery.
I tried to steal your...
Certainly. I got that key from the man who was killed. Then you made off with it for your own selfish purpose. As defender of the right and redresser of wrong, I naturally followed you.
You followed?
To the Ben Dixon Hotel. I proceeded up the back stairs to room 405, entered by the door you had neglected to lock, and listened at the door to the connecting room.
You heard what I said to Casey?
Yes, varlet.
Oh, so that's what a varlet is.
What you said to your red-headed henchman there.
Now, just a...
When he left your car at the rear of the hotel to assist you with Casey, I concealed myself in its fortuitously unlocked luggage compartment and rode here with you. To the rescue.
Wilmer, pal, you're some guy. Look, before we drive these two birds to the nearest police station, Mr. Carrig, will you give them a frisk? They just might have an extra gat on them.
I was about to suggest such a procedure, and I am an expert at frisky.
What?
No.
Oh, yes, I see what you mean. Don't try anything while he's going over you, Lockett. Are you, Red?
Why,
I'm not a gunman like you, birds, but I'm a pretty good shot. All right, are they clean, Mr. Carrick?
Quite the contrary, to be literal. But we need have no fear now that they'll produce a hidden gun.
Okay, you two. We start for the cops.
Look, Casey, maybe we can make a deal.
Forget it, Lockett.
Don't be a fool. Every man has his price.
Mine's too high for you.
Defenders of the right cannot be purchased. To the cars, Casey.
Wait.
Outside, Lockett. You two, Red. Go to the cops.
No, they're not. Who is...
Ben Flack.
Ben, the big boss.
Surprised to see me, Lockett? You and Red?
Well,
Ben,
where are you?
Casey, feel anything at the back of your neck?
Yeah.
The gun in the hand of a friend of mine. Better drop the two gats in your hands.
There is a man behind you, Casey.
Drop him, mister.
Okay.
Bring him up, Joe. Now, Joe and I will rearrange the plan you two had.
Then how?
How do I happen to be here, Lockett? Well, I've been keeping a steady eye on you and Red for a long time. You haven't made a move I haven't known about. The dirty double-crossing rats. You never put anything over on Ben Flack. I knew about the red hot your Chicago pal shipped on here before he even got on the train. And one of my guys put a shiv in his back before you ever saw him, Lockett. But I'm taking the pleasure of killing you and Red myself.
No, Ben, don't!
That ends that. Casey, I'm sorry you and the little guy here had to see what just happened.
I can guess what you mean, Ben.
This overgrown murderer is altogether obvious, Casey. We are dangerous witnesses.
That's it, Joe.
Yes, boss.
I've always kind of liked Casey, and I'm soft-hearted with guys I like. You do it.
Sure, boss.
Not if I can help it.
Oh, let me go. Let
him get your gun. I'll flip him on the head.
That you will not do. Now I'll shoot the other one, Casey.
Wait a minute. You don't have to, Wilbur. I've got him under control.
Hey, where did you get that gun you shot Ben Flack with?
From Red.
Huh?
I found it concealed in his pocket when I searched him in the boathouse.
You didn't tell me.
I retain my old Robin Hood technique, Casey. I never tell anybody everything.
Huh.
I hope my bullets didn't kill this murderer. I prefer to let the law take its course in such matters.
Oh, you only winged him. He'll live. Till after a jury hears our eyewitness testimony.
Excellent.
Well, I'll pile these two sleeping characters into the car, get them to the cops before anything else happens.
We've had an adventurous afternoon and evening, haven't we?
You said it, Wilmer. I've been conked on the head, taken for a ride. Thought twice I was going to be bumped off, and... You know, pal, I'm kind of all in.
Mm-hmm. Brother defenders of the right should not be too critical of each other, Casey, but... I'm afraid you have no staying power.
We'll join the crowd at the Blue Note in just a moment. Your friends will never guess when you set out your new 2-quart Sunburst crystal pitcher. And someone will say, "Where did you get that beautiful pitcher?" We'll ask them to guess. They'll mention jewelry stores, high-class specialty shops, and the like. They'll never guess that you bought it new and bright for only 50 cents. For this beautiful 2-quart Sunburst crystal pitcher has the same diamond-like sparkle you see in the most costly hand-cut crystal. The kind of crystal that's handed down for generations as a family heirloom. Yes, the Sunburst crystal pitcher is an amazing bargain, a really great value. And yet, you'll find this Sunburst crystal pitcher and other equally great Sunburst crystal values at any retail store selling household glass. Now, the Sunburst crystal pitcher costs only 50 cents, slightly more in distant cities, so ask for it by name. You'll recognize the brilliant, sparkling, traditional Sunburst pattern immediately. Sunburst crystal is a product of Anchor Hawking. The most famous name in glass.
With Lockhart dead and Flack got dead to rights for killing him and that redhead, Casey, it sure looks like you and that Wilmer Carrig has busted up the Flack political machine.
Huh? Yeah, it'll be pretty hard to reorganize with the ringleaders out of the picture, Edward.
You don't seem very happy about having performed such a fine public service.
Yeah, well, you see, I've just been talked to by Miss Williams and Captain Logan.
They sore at you?
Yeah, and how. Yeah, and you know, to make the day absolutely perfect, I lost my watch somewhere.
That's funny.
Funny?
Yeah, because a fella gave me a watch tonight. I stepped outside a minute to catch a breath of air, And a little fella comes up and says, "You look like a poor working man who needs a watch." Then before I could say anything, he stuck it in my hand and beat it.
Let's see that watch.
Yeah, here it is.
That's mine.
You mean Mr. Wilmer Carrig?
Mr. Wilmer Carrig, the friend of the poor.
Crime Photographer, starring Stotts Cotsworth as Casey, is brought to you each Thursday by the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation, makers of Fire King Oven Glass, Anchor Glass Containers, Anchor Caps and Closures, all products of Anchor Hawking, the most famous name in glass. By John Dietz. The original music is by Archie Blyer, and the program features Miss Jan Minor as Anne and John Gibson as Ethelbert. Herman Chittison is the Blue Note pianist. This is Tony Marvin saying goodnight for the Anchor Hawking Glass Corporation of Lancaster, Ohio, with offices in all principal cities of the United States and Canada. Thursday night on CBS is the biggest show in town, so stay tuned for exciting dramatizations on Reader's Digest Radio Edition, which follows immediately over most of these stations. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Coming up this week on the Old Time Radio Snack Wagon.
The echoing hoofbeats of the Ghost Rider should never end. They should throb in the pulses of every American and live in his memory from family to family, generation to generation. Perhaps ghosts should be seen and not heard, but this is one your whole family should hear about.
Listen to the Old Time Radio Snack Wagon, snackwagon.net, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. This episode really reminded me of the Christmas program, and I was kind of beginning to think we might be getting a slightly rewritten version of that, but I'm glad this went in another direction. It was fun, and I did like the eccentric character in this. Over at bluenotebulletin.blogspot.com, there are a couple of interesting notes. And I noticed there was some weirdness with Captain Logan when he came on, and they said that this is kind of an example of new system having a few bugs still with the way they were recording, because essentially they didn't get the phone voice filter on right immediately. So it was kind of a little bit of a shift in mid-conversation. And then he notes a little bit of a coincidence. The key is for a room at the Ben Dixon Hotel. Ben Dixon became a well-known jazz drummer. But not yet. He was only 13 at the time of this broadcast. Years later, when his career grew, he became a recording artist for Blue Note Records, believe it or not. Well, great fun fact there from Blue Note Bulletin. And now we turn to listener comments and feedback. And I have another site now where I've got listener comments. So on Podbean... we have Jesser1863 writes, great podcast. Adam does a great job, lots of variety. And Aaron says, great job, Adam, and great selection. In your opening monologue, I can hear the passion you have for Golden Age of Radio, and that makes all the difference when listening. Thanks for the entertainment. And then Harmonica Lady 01 says, I love these detective stories. Glad I discovered this podcast. And then we have a comment which is kind of hard for me to deal with. And I've thought probably about this more than I probably should. Because essentially, the whole of the comment is actually kind of rude. Not a curse word or anything, but yeah, it's one of those negative comments that you get, and it's one, you know, just for that I typically don't read. But then they had a little bit of interesting feedback suggestion. So here's the suggestion: time to take a background role as executive producer, I think. You did a great job starting the original format. Time to improve upon the original format. Every business has a mission statement and a forward plan. Now, what's somewhat funny about this comment is that this is coupled with a suggestion that I needed to read a specific book to improve my enunciation. And it would make sense to say you should read this book to improve the way that you announce and you present on the podcast. But taken with the directive to leave an on-air role, it's like you can read this book so that you can be good enough to quit doing the podcast. The interesting part to me, though, is the suggestion of becoming executive producer, which at first blush sounds like kind of pretentious job title when you would consider that it would be me, Andrew Rhines, doing the editing and whoever the new podcast host was. But I think it does signal a sort of misunderstanding that throws some folks about podcast, because I've gotten comments, you know, that have had this same tone. I think there's a basic assumption by some that kind of think about this in an old media way, that if you're going to have a podcast, you've got to have a company behind you, somebody who is writing the checks and calling the shot. And I think this idea, this, you know, understanding of how podcasts work, is probably behind a lot of the more negative comments that I get, because they tend not to make sense in the world that actually exists, where pretty much anyone can start a podcast. You can even do it for free, though there tends to be quite a few limitations if you go that low. But you can do that. And the second point that's maybe not understood here, and certainly it's not just this person commenting over on Podbean, but there's a misunderstanding about what's really important in this sort of news media landscape. I think you want to be as professional as possible. You want to, you know, grow and become more skilled in the way that you present your material. But the real driver is the passion for what's being talked about. And this is something a lot of people don't understand. I'm on a podcasting forum, and people will come in and say, I'm wanting to start a podcast. What should my topic be? And people have read articles, and there have been mention of podcast and podcasters making money. And I think some people, and it happened, you know, a bit with blogs, had the idea, what should I talk about for the podcast so I can start making thousands of dollars? Not how it works. Topic is important, but you gotta have passion for what you're talking about. I think that's true whether you're talking podcast or YouTube channels. If you don't have passion, you can't do it consistently, it's not going to work. I mean, mean, there are people who I listen to and watch their stuff, not because I have any general interest in their topic, but because they are so passionate and they make it interesting in the way that they present it. So all of that to say, I have no plans to step down and become a producer. Could I ever see myself doing it under any circumstances? Maybe. There are some scenarios I could see that happening. For example, I'm getting a bit older. By no means am I over the hill, but I'm officially into that middle age period. So if sometime in the future, sometime like in the 2030s or something, I'm still doing the podcast and I meet someone who's younger, really has a passion for this and could do it really well and be able to continue to present these stories for years or decades to come, I could see myself considering that. Or if there was another project that really caught my eye. For example, if the public domain continues to grow each year, in a few years, we're going to start having some really interesting films coming into the public domain. I could see wanting to spend more time really studying and trying to produce better quality video theater episodes, like once a week, of famous detective movies, and wanting to find someone to help with some of the audio podcasting. A passion for golden age detective stories and old time radio, that would be a must. And the dedication to, you know, be there consistently. And if I were to ever consider that sort of thing, there'd probably be a very long transition period where they would be co-hosting with me, make sure, you know, how the existing listeners reacted. And then, you know, as long as we were doing multiple shows, they would probably take over one show or two shows. That would probably go on for months or years, and I would probably never, ever fully let go completely, unless it made sense. But again, that's something I would look at, you know, down the line. Right now, our business plan is to continue to do episodes, do the podcast as long as it continues to make sense to do it the way we're doing it. And it does. So I don't know if I answered the listener's question. I just kind of explained the thought process that went through my head when I read it. So I hope that was interesting to someone. All right. Well, I do want to go ahead now and thank our Patreon supporter of the day. Thank you to Emily, Patreon supporter since February, currently supporting us at the rookie level of $2 or more per month. Again, thank you so much for your support. And that'll do it for today. If you're enjoying this podcast on YouTube, be sure to like the video, subscribe to the channel, and mark the notification bell. Join us back here tomorrow for The Fat Man. We'll be back next Monday, another episode of Casey Crime Photographer. In the meantime, send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.